Although BetUS Racing is first and foremost a race book, that doesn't mean we don't offer more products for our members. Members of BetUS Racing can play Vegas-style casino games online. Players at BetUS Racing can select from a comprehensive list of games. Our selection of games include online blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and craps, as well as an exclusive selection of online video poker or slot games. There is no download required to play the casino games, and games can be played for fun or for real money. BetUS Racing will be introducing a new suite of casino games shortly, which will all be mobile-friendly, so you can enjoy mobile horse betting in addition to betting on casino games with jackpots of over $100,000. For adults only, go to BetUSRacing.com. Mention Arena Sports and you'll get a special.
This is Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Next!
What?
Are you kidding me?
Need a little excitement?
You know what?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Get out and explain the timeline of this. I think it's important to get everything out in the open of what should have happened, because that's something that a lot of us don't know. If you've never dealt with a situation like this, like I haven't, I've never dealt with anything like this. So a lot of people that I've talked to have said, how could Urban not have known? How could he have covered up for this guy? How could he do this? How could he protect his friend? I don't know. I've never been in that situation. My first reaction was, my first reaction is always, what would happen? What would happen if somebody told this to me? And if somebody's wife told me, hey, so-and-so hit me, I'd be on the phone with that guy right away and be like, hey, I got a text here. What's going on? Because we're going to have beef and we're going to have issues. And me and that guy, we're going to have it out because it's something I don't put up with. On the other hand, I don't know what was said to Urban Meyer. I don't know what he knew about it. So I don't know. I got to try to put myself in his shoes of figuring it out. And with that, we have Jenny on the line. So let me bring her on. Here we go. Let's see if this works. Hey, welcome to Fifth Down Sports Show.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jenny?
I'm good, thanks. So, what's going on? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I got you here in the studio, so we're good to go. And just for the audience, Jenny, tell us a little bit about your program and what you've set up.
Okay. So I'm the founder of Let It Be Heard. It's an organization that goes into some middle schools, high schools, and colleges, and does prevention education training on sexual violence, domestic violence, stalking, bystander intervention, things like that. Also working with schools and colleges on their Title IX and Clery policies and what they need to be doing to keep the students and the faculty safe and also compliant with state and federal mandates.
So, in other words, you are the perfect person to have on and discuss this situation at Ohio State. You and I have been in contact since this story broke, and I was just telling the audience, when this story broke, you were the first person I thought of where I was like, I can have somebody on and explain some of this to me, because I have no idea what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go. So the way I'm feeling about attacking this is I think we should just go with the timeline of the events.
Okay.
And go through each event and try to figure out what is going on, because I'm not a – we talked earlier, and I think both of us are kind of – from the media portrayals of this, there are gaps in the story that
we need to
figure out. And so let's just start at the beginning. So just to catch everybody up, so assistant coach Zach Smith has been a coach with Urban Meyer. He was a coach at Florida. Urban Meyer, I think he was a grad assistant at Florida. No, he was a grad assistant at Bowling Green with Urban Meyer. Went to Florida when Urban Meyer became the coach there, and then came back when Urban Meyer came back to Ohio State. Why is that important? Because in 2009 is when this whole story begins. And there was an incident in 2009 where Zach Smith was arrested and charged with domestic violence against his wife, Courtney. Now, in that, the only reason we know of the 2009 is because they said they reported it. Now, my question to you, Jenny, is when they say they reported it to the right person, if who is the football coach supposed to report to when there's an incident like this?
Anytime there is an incident of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, that is related with a student or a staff person at a university, the reports go to the Title IX coordinator. Every institution can designate whoever they want as a Title IX coordinator. Some schools will have a Title IX coordinator that's just for the students, so sometimes that's a student affairs office. For faculty and staff, usually Title IX person would be the head of HR. It all just depends on what the university or who the university has designated as their Title IX officer.
Okay.
So in this case,
they're supposed to report to them. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With this case back in... What was that?
Yep, go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
With this case back in 2009, if they were made aware of this case, the coach, he should have reported to the Title IX coordinator back then. It is a little hard because Title IX has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, so what was in place in 2009 wasn't necessarily in place in 2015, which isn't even in place currently right now. So the policies kind of have changed, but overall what stays the same is if you do hear of a disclosure of sexual violence, domestic violence, or stalking, you are supposed to report it to your Title IX coordinator.
Okay, so they report it, and this is the question that I think a lot of people have skipped over. A lot of people have just used it as, well, this happened in 2009, and I've heard it over and over again. What happened in 2009, and they reported it? Well, if they reported it in 2009, what? There weren't any. I haven't seen any reports where there were any consequences from that report. It doesn't sound like Zach Smith was. He wasn't fired from that position. He wasn't let go by the university. There were basically no consequences from that report. Is that normal, or is that up to the school's discretion?
Well, you have to look at it two different ways. There's how an institution, a college or university, would handle something, and then you have to look at what a criminal investigation, so a court of law, how would that be handled? So with this case back in 2009, criminally, from what I've read, it says she had called the police, he was arrested and charged. From what I'm also reading, it's saying that Urban Meyer did know of it, and he had spoken to some people, but he says what came back to him was that the report didn't actually happen. So who he reported to back in 2009, I really can't find anything about that and what was done with that. I do, from reading, what I did find was that criminally she chose to drop the criminal charges. So by a victim choosing not to go forward criminally, there is no criminal case. It's hard to move on in a criminal case when you have no complaining witness. And she, Courtney Smith, the accident's wife, chose not to continue with the criminal charges due to Zach Smith's mother, grandfather, people at the school contacting her, you know, saying, you have to drop this. He'll never be able to coach again. You're going to ruin his career. He was drunk. He's never done this. It's a one-time thing. And so she dropped it. And so I think that's kind of why we don't hear too much about the 2009 case.
So just to summarize the 2009 incident, just because something's reported, then the school or the Title IX, they decide if they want to do their own investigation and whatever they come up, so they can do whatever they come up with in the investigation, they can act on that.
Right, and just like a criminal proceeding with the Title IX case, you have to have a complaining witness to go forward to do an investigation. So it hasn't really been put out there what was reported to Urban Meyer back in 2009. We're hearing very little of, if anything, about the 2009 case and how it played out with the school. All we just know is that he says something came back to me, and then what was told to him initially wasn't exactly what happened. And that's all the media seems to be shedding light on.
So that's all we can go on the 2009 incident. So again, 2009, he's in Florida. Urban Meyer, anybody who's followed college football knows Urban Meyer stepped down from Florida a few years later, took a breather, took some time in the booth to call games, and Ohio State came back, called him. Ohio State said, we want you to be our coach. Urban Meyer went there, and Urban Meyer said, well, I want to get the band back together. So he grabbed, of course, this guy, Zach Smith, was one of his guys. It's the grandson of his mentor, which is important to the story later on. But so he says, Zach, come, you know, wherever you're coaching now, come coach with me and join my staff. And that's how the whole thing ends up in Columbus. And then we get to the 2014-2015 era, which is where these latest things come from. And that's kind of where, and what happens is, this is the part of the story I don't understand, and maybe you can shed some light on this. Well, I don't understand from a victim's point of view how in the story they said it's been reported that there were 9 calls to the police for Zach and Courtney Smith. The police were contacted 9 times about domestic disputes. What I don't understand is how the authorities can be contacted 9 different times and no one steps in for any intervention. There was nothing done of the 9 of those 9 trips. How does that happen?
This sounds kind of disturbing, but that's actually not uncommon. If you watch Courtney Smith's interview, like pretty much the only interview she's done, she says how her husband, he manipulated her, he demeaned her, he put her down, and that he basically scares you, like he scared her, and there's a reason that they do that. And she did call the police, and she says, you know, she hung up out of fear a number of times because she was fearing that he would lose his job. So she did reach out to police a number of times, and the number of times she hung up, from at least what we know where I'm from in Connecticut, you call 911, you hang up, they have the number where you've called, and they will go out, especially if it's a landline, they'll go out and make sure things are okay. Interesting, if she was calling from a landline, you know, why didn't they show up at her house when they saw that there was a call coming from the number? She did also mention a lot of times during her DV cases, her husband would take her phone from her so she wouldn't call the police. The fact is, a lot of times victims will reach out to the police, you know, in right after something has happened, but then they will not continue with going the criminal route. They say, no, it was a misunderstanding. I don't want to go through with it. Most people don't realize that when somebody is in a domestic violence situation, there is something that's called like the cycle of violence. And it starts off, it's a honeymoon stage, your relationship's amazing. And then the eggshell stage, like you're walking on eggshells, there's tension, you're afraid of something happening, and then there's an explosion. You know, there's usually where it gets physical. After that explosion, it will go back to a honeymoon stage. Sometimes it'll go to the eggshell stage, and in that process, your abuser is apologizing to you and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, but I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't done this. So it's putting it back on the victim. And most victims will go through this cycle at least 7 times before trying to leave an abusive relationship. And when the victim tries to leave the abusive relationship, it's actually the most dangerous time throughout the whole relationship is when they're leaving this. And so how plays back into turn with the police, so there was calls. Should they have done more? I personally think yes. However, knowing what the criminal system can be like, even when somebody is arrested and they are facing charges of domestic violence cases are one of the biggest jokes in the criminal system. Perpetrators are constantly given programs. It's slap on the wrist. Okay, why don't you go to therapy? Okay, you do this. Okay, you do that. And we're going to give you a slap on the wrist. And the next time it happens, we're going to give you a second slap on the wrist. You'll just do the next program up. And it's just over and over and over. And it's not changing the perpetrators. And I think that's a problem in the system. And while when you're calling the police and victims are dealing with coming forward, it plays a role. And even in the state of Connecticut, I can tell you, like, officers, they're told to go out on DV cases, and unless they're 100% sure of what's going on, they're told to arrest both people. So why is a victim going to call the police when there's a chance that they can be arrested? That law has recently changed in Connecticut, where police really need to investigate and find out who's responsible. But there's a whole lot of things that come to play in here. Why victims don't come forward, while if you are calling the police officers, why isn't the perpetrator arrested? There's just a whole lot of things. And unfortunately, none of us are there, so we really don't know what had happened. But should have something more happened? I personally think so. I think, you know, the law should have stepped in before this, but I don't know what happened every time she called the police.
And I just want to clear up, because I think you explained that absolutely perfectly, but I just want to say, I bring up that the 9 times prior and all of that. I've been getting killed over social media for my stance of saying, I want to know what happened in those 9 times prior. Not because, and I've been blasted as, oh, you're blaming the victim. I'm not trying to blame the victim here. I just want to know what happened in those 9 times so that I can figure out where the situation was on the 10th time. Like, how bad was it? How bad did it get? And the reason I want to know that is going on to the next step of what happened, because we know that there was an incident in 2015 where Zach Smith was actually arrested, and and this was the incident where Courtney Smith texted Shelley Meyer. I want to know my just inclination of this is, did you text Shelley Meyer after every time? Because if she did, then Shelley would have to tell Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer would have to go, you know, as we discussed before, anything doing with domestic violence, he would have to go to the Title IX person in the organization, in the school. Yeah. So that's what I want to know from Shelley Miller. Was this a one-time deal? Was it just like, I'm fed up, I'm texting Shelley after the 10th one, or did she text her after each one? Did they know it was increasing, or did everybody think this 10th time, you know, the 10th time, was everything else swept under the rug, or was this, you know, did she text her every time? That's one of the questions I would like to know.
There is an interview out with Courtney Smith, and the person that's interviewing her asks, you know, because she's very open, Courtney Smith, about, you know, I'm very close with the coach's wives. Everybody knew that this was a bad relationship, you know, that there had been cheating on his part, that, you know, there was verbal and emotional abuse. She did say that she did not tell the other coach's wives that there was physical abuse until 2015. Now, in regards to what was going on with the police with those 9 phone calls, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what transpired in those situations. I just think it's horrendous that it took somebody calling the police 9-10 times for something to actually happen. And unfortunately, this just goes to show in society what happens with domestic violence victims and why it's so hard for them to get help and seek justice. It's hard enough for them to actually put the name domestic violence to a situation or abuse. And when they do, they're just faced with so much disbelief and so much doubt and so much questioning. And in this case, I mean, she's reached out so many times, and it wasn't until, like, the 10th time something was done. But in regards to her telling Urban Meyer's wife the situation, from what I had heard, it wasn't until 2015 that she actually said, yeah, there's actual physical abuse. And when she did say that, Urban Meyer's wife said, I need to tell my husband. And she's like, yeah, I think you do, and I think it's a good thing that you do tell him.
Right, and that's been, and as I said in my open before you came on, that's kind of the thing that people have been getting up on is, all right, his wife knew, so Urban must have known, you know, that Shelley Meyer said, I have to tell Urban. Whether she did or not is between Urban Meyer and Shelley Meyer. That, we'll never know that unless one of them says, yes, you know, Shelley told me, or Shelley Meyer comes out and says, no, I didn't tell Urban because I knew where it was going from there. You know, that part of those are questions that are still up in the air, and maybe the investigation that the school is doing, maybe that will come out in that we'll know of that. But the reason I want to know what happened in those other incidences is because I'm putting myself in Urban Meyer's shoes as the head coach, as a guy who's tried to. He's obviously looked out for these guys, looked out for them in 2009. He sent people down to try to help their relationship. So obviously he was a part of that before. So just the way I'm processing this, if there were incidents all throughout this time and it never got, you know, never got to the level of the time when Zach had to be arrested, if there were a bunch of little things that happened, and every time they went to Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer said, all right, what's going on? And Zach says nothing, but she's telling them, you know, abuse is happening. By the, you know, not just nature, human nature, after like the fourth or fifth time where it's like, all right, something happened, but you guys figured it out, got back together, things were good, and then something else happened. After like the fourth or fifth time, maybe after this tenth, you know, after the tenth time, he was like, all right, they're going through another this again. You know, that mentality. Is that crazy of me to think, or does that happen regularly? That's kind of what I'm asking.
Well, it's hard because nobody really knows what happened and what people were told and what people knew about. You know, originally Irving and I were saying, hey, no, I had no clue about this. And then just a couple days ago, he was like, oh, yeah, I knew about it. I passed it on to the proper authorities. There's a lot of unknown questions throughout this whole thing. You know, what was known back in 2009 was basically Courtney Smith bullied into dropping the criminal charges. What did people really know throughout this whole thing? And I think she's a brave woman. She's come forward and she's been very honest, you know, that, yeah, she let people know that it was an unhealthy relationship and stuff, but she didn't actually tell people about the physical abuse until 2015, at least anyway, to Irving Meyer's wife. You know, it wasn't until that one phone call or the one texting where she said it was, you know, it's physical. There's something that people really aren't looking at, though. She told Irving Meyer's wife, who is an employee of the university. She is a professor of nursing. She herself was a responsible employee. She herself should have reported for Title IX. Everyone's, you know, saying, oh, Irving Meyer, if he knew, he should have known. Well, we know that his wife knew. Did she report to Title IX? I think that's something that also needs to be questioned. And that is,
now,
that was...
I said, that's an amazing segue into my next question was, and I think we talked about this a little bit, but now that we're at this stage of the timeline in the story, all right, so let's say Urban Meyer did just find out this one, you know, he just found out this one time, and I'm going to take him at his word for right now that for this exercise here, let's say he did everything that he says he did. He reported it. So he reported it to Title IX. What are the steps? Where does it go from there?
So Title IX is a federal law that's put in place, and anytime there's domestic violence, sexual harassment, stalking, a whole list of things that go on, but especially those three topics in this situation, and a faculty, staff member, an employee of a university or a student is being accused of sexual assault, it would be reported to the Title IX coordinator. The Title IX coordinator would then reach out to the victim and start an internal investigation, a Title IX investigation within the school. The thing that's very odd with this situation is this usually involves two students of the same university, an employee and a student, whether it's a student being accused or employee being accused, and then maybe even two students that are at different universities, whether it's at a sporting event or something like that. This is honestly the first time I've ever heard of a situation where Title IX has come up where an employee, a coach, is being accused of domestic violence against his wife, and Title IX gets involved because the victim is not a student. The victim is not an employee. Does that mean that the victim should be forgotten about? Absolutely not. But it kind of says what the school can do is a little hard. However, if you look at Irving Meyer's contract, it clearly states that he had to report any kind of domestic violence that he would know about with students or faculty and staff, no matter who the victim is. So if he was aware of this, he had to report it for Title IX. Whether the next step for what the next step would be for Title IX, that I'm not sure of, especially if this would be happening now with the changes of Title IX ever since September of 2017. Any institution can create their own Title IX guidelines, but seeing as this was back in 2015, the Obama issued guidelines of Office of Civil Rights was still in place, that an investigation should have been done. But like I said, this is very unheard of for a Title IX investigation to be done involving an employee and an espouse somebody who is not a paid employee or a student of Ohio State University. So what the next steps would have been in this case, that I can't tell you. I would love to be like, oh, they really should have pulled her in for a Title IX investigation, but you don't have a student or a staff complaining. You have somebody's wife. So it's going to be interesting to see what this investigation does entail. Did Irving Meyer actually reach out to the person he was supposed to, the Title IX coordinator? If he did, then that's all he has to do. As a responsible employee, if you hear of a disclosure, even third party, so even if his wife told him and he didn't find out firsthand, he has to report it to the Title IX coordinator. Once he's done that, pretty much he's done what he is supposed to do. It's up to the Title IX coordinator to do something.
So now that's another interesting point. Going back to the topic we just, you know, the part of the story we just talked about, where, you know, there were a multitude of these incidents. Let's say Urban Meyer knew that there were incidences between these the nine times before, you know, mm-hmm. whether they were, you know, just little spats or, you know, little bumps in the road, not like a major, like, you know, where he hit her or, you know, he did something physically violent. But if Urban Meyer knows, and I'm just trying to say this as anybody, if anybody out there, if he learned that there was a domestic issue, I'm not necessarily going to say that domestic abuse was going on, but if Urban Meyer overheard this, you know, overheard, hey, something's going on, and it didn't rise to the criminal level, is he still responsible to report that? Hey, is he responsible to report that? Is that under his, does that sound like it's under the guise of that, or is that asking too much of him?
No, if you look at his contract, it says that he must report sexual harassment, sexual assault, sexual exploitation, intimate partner violence, stalking involving any student, staff, or faculty, that whether it takes place on university property, on a university sponsor event, regardless of the location, he needs to report this. And with Title IX, it doesn't matter if you are told directly by the victim or a third-party person, you still have to report it. And just from what I've read and the fact that he has said, yes, I did know about this, I do think he knew about it, and I think he knew about it for a very long time. And the fact is, Zach Smith was recently fired from his job because he was dealing with this domestic violence case. Had this come forward years ago, I do think Zach Smith would have and should have been fired years ago. Could this have happened years ago? Absolutely. Do I think the proper authorities were told? I don't believe so. I'm not there. I don't know 100%, but I don't believe so. And if it was, somebody definitely let the ball drop on this case and on this poor woman who endured years of domestic abuse. And it sounds like emotional and psychological abuse, and it's so unfortunate. And the fact that people are saying, why did you stay? It's highly normal for an abuse victim to stay with their abuser. And when you have little kids and you're financially dependent and you're isolated, I mean, this guy was an abuser, clearly by the sounds of what he did. And this poor woman is dealing with it, and she's dealing with it in a very political way. But she's being honest about what she said and when she said it and who she said it to. But I do feel that had the proper people been told about this, that Zach Smith should have and would have been fired years ago.
Well, absolutely. And I think I made this point right before you called. I think I made this point. If we find out that nobody was contacted, or that when this report comes out and we find out where the ball dropped, this is going to turn into a situation of where the cover-up is worse than the crime. It's going to be that kind of situation where we're finding out somebody, if somebody tried to sweep this under the rug, that person is going to take the bullet, whether that's Urban Meyer, whether that's the athletic director that he reported it to, whether it's the, you know, Title IX coordinator, whether it assuming, again, you have to assume Urban Meyer did everything right. But if Urban Meyer didn't do everything right, then he's going to get the brunt of all of this. If he did do everything right, then it's going to be the next person and the next person and the next person. Because there's no way we could have gotten this far down the road if everybody followed the proper procedure. And if it comes out, and this will be something that we'll find out in that report. If this report comes back and says, nope, we followed the letter of the law, we followed every procedure the way it was supposed to be done, then we have to go back to the drawing board and figure out that, you know, then we have to figure out that this procedure obviously failed, because it obviously failed somewhere. So if they come back, it's going to be hard for me to believe that they're going to come back and say everybody did everything right. They're going to find somebody to scapegoat for this. But if they come back and they say, nope, the university acted as well as we could, then we're going to have to come back. We're going to have you back on to have a discussion of how do we fix this? How do we fix this? Because something went askew.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. If there is a scapegoat, yeah, that person's career is over. And if whoever they blame it on is the responsible party, their career should be, you know, it should be over. I don't think whatever the outcome is any far worse than what the victim has dealt with. But the fact is, if they come out and they say that they've done, you know, everyone did everything they were supposed to do, we're not, you know, it's over and done with, that's a shame, because I think if the school had known something about it, they would have fired him. Because if they're saying, we did everything we should have, and yeah, we knew about this, but there was nothing we could have done, that's crap. Because they knew something's going on right now, hence they fired him. So if you're firing him now, why wouldn't you have fired him 3 years ago? And granted, yes, domestic violence, sexual violence, it's very, like, all over the media, in the spotlight, from everything from Ray Rice a couple of years ago to Harvey Weinstein to the hashtag MeToo movement. That's been going on the last couple of years. It's definitely, victims are coming out more, and they're going after justice, and that's awesome. But the fact is, if you're going to fire somebody on this now, you knew about it 3 years ago, you should have fired them. So I think the school could be opening up a problem for them right now. You know, if they say, oh yeah, we knew about, and we did everything right, you can't say you were going to do it now and you didn't do it then. I think somebody is an absolute ass for doing that.
And moving on to that point, if it comes out and we find it, we know, we just talked about how Courtney Smith is not associated with Ohio State, other than she was married to a coach there.
Uh-huh.
If somebody as a victim, from a victim's point of view, what are their options, other than, because not everybody's going to be able to go to I think the guy who wrote the story was a, but he was either a writer or a sports journalist in Cleveland,
uh-huh,
who had his own podcast or something. He wrote for one of the papers. I think it was the Cleveland Plain Dealer, one of those kinds of things. Not everybody has access to a national writer who's going to write something, you know, write the thing. The thing didn't even get written in a paper. It was a post on Facebook. So
right.
That's a whole other can of worms for another day. But What kind of avenues are there for victims? What can they do if they don't feel authorities are doing enough for them?
In any time you're dealing with a higher institution, a college or a university, and let's say you're dealing with two students or two employees or an employee and a student, and you've reported it to your coach, a teacher, a counselor, and nothing was done, you go and you find the Title IX coordinator and you report it directly. If we're talking about a situation with this case, you normally would go a criminal route. I mean, you absolutely can contact somebody's employer and let them know, and you would hope that they would maybe terminate the position, like what's going on right now. But it's, every school is different. Every job's different. So it's important that if you can't go report criminally, and it's tough. Most people hear these cases and I'm like, well, why didn't you just report it to the police? Why didn't you just do it from day one? It's not easy. Everybody can say they're going to do it, but until you're in that position, that person's exact position, you don't know what's going on. And most people don't realize how hard it is for a victim to come forward. But if a victim is not getting, if they are reporting and they're not getting what they need to seek out their local victim advocates. Almost every state in the United States have some kind of organization, some kind of alliance that provides victim services, advocates that are there for victims' behalfs. If you still can't do that, look up, see what victims' rights lawyers are out there. And it seems like it might be extreme, and in some cases people can't do that. And if you can't find out a victim's rights lawyer or a victim's right attorney, start keeping track of everything. And it sounds ridiculous, and it sounds like so much to put on a victim, but they need to document everything, every text message, every email. If there was physical abuse, they need pictures, they need all this, because when somebody finally believes them and they're going to say, well, do you have proof? This is where your proof is. And it's such crap that in 2018 we have to put this on the victim. But that's the truth. It has to be. A victim has to keep so much documentation of everything going on because they're still not believed. It does not matter. They're just still not believed. So having that proof is going to help them get to the next place. And with schools, if your school's still not believing you, you can file a Title IX complaint with the U.S. Department of Education. The school can be looking at facing losing their federal funding from the United States if they're not following Title IX guidelines. So there's things in place that can be done, but it's not a walk in the park. It's not something that can be done in a couple days. It's a struggle. It's a battle. It's a fight, and so much is put onto the victim when they're already dealing with too much. It just... it doesn't seem right because it isn't.
And that's just, I couldn't have said it better and better myself any way that, I mean, we need to get out there and tell people the avenues that they need to go. Because a lot of times I feel people in these spots, they go to the, especially if somebody goes to the authority, goes to the police, and the police do nothing. A lot of times that can be so deflating of, well, I went to the police, they didn't do anything, so maybe, you know, so I must be wrong. And they
that's
get deflated.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's why we need to believe the victims that are coming forward. I know everyone says, oh, you know, this can't really be happening that much, or how can we believe them? Most people do not make this up. When we're talking about crimes of violence, it's the same percentage for other violent crimes out there. Victims are not making this up. Nobody wants to be known as a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault or stalking. The fact is these things are happening. We need to believe the victims. We need to support the victims. We need to stop victim blaming and asking every why question. Why didn't she report it? Why didn't she leave earlier? Why didn't she stand up for herself? It doesn't matter those why questions. The fact is, this person did this to somebody else, and we need to hold our perpetrators accountable and back our victims and believe them and stop making them have to go through all this crap just to seek justice. This poor woman, she's all over the media having to give interviews. She has, an 8- and a 5-year-old, and this is going to follow them forever. It's absolutely ridiculous. If things were handled properly in the beginning and she was believed and her family wasn't trying to convince her to drop these criminal charges, we wouldn't be here today. But the fact is, we are. And it's whoever this falls down on, whosever neck that they're going to put out there and blame it on, it's a lot of people's fault for what happened here. Obviously, most definitely Zach Smith, but there were a lot of people that helped cover this up and not support this woman.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I come into this thing, and I'm so thankful for having you on and having you explain all of this to me, because like I said, I don't have any friends who, I don't have anybody who's, I don't know anybody who's gone through this kind of situation, and the only reason I ask the questions that I've asked about it is so that I'm one of those people, I need to put myself in somebody's shoes to figure out what they did. Why did they act this way? And I know when this story first broke and everybody was talking about it, as, well, if I were Urban Meyer and somebody told me, I would kick his ass or I would do this, I would have no idea what I would do. And I would like to think my first reaction would be to, when I heard that if Zach Smith were my assistant and he came in and I heard that there was a domestic violence, I would like to think I would slap him in the face and be like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? I would like to think that that's what I would do, but I would have no idea how to go about this. And before we talk, now that we've talked, now I know, all right, if I heard about it, I would say, hey, I got to talk to these people. We got to figure this out. We got to go down this road. But I've heard a lot of people make judgments on why didn't Urban Meyer tell, and I'm not making an excuse for Urban Meyer. I'm just saying maybe he was in that mentality of this again. I think it goes back to that this again deal where he was like, I'm dealing with this couple's been on the rocks back and forth. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to get in the middle of their, I'm not going to get in the middle of their relationship again. I've done it once. I'm going to see how this plays out. And
I'd like to think
maybe that was his mentality.
Yeah, it could have been, but had he gotten involved another time, maybe that one time could have been the time that ended it sooner for this woman. You know, I really don't think anybody is going to really find out the truth of everything that's going on, even after this investigation. I really don't believe that. You know, all you can hope for right now is that there's justice for this poor woman and she can move on with her life and feel safe. You know, in fact, her husband has broken a protective order, and it's serious, you know. And everyone says, yeah, it's a piece of paper, but a lot of times that piece of paper does work. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. In this case, now he's facing felony charges for breaking a protective order. So hopefully she can get justice. It's just the blame that goes around. There's a lot of blame that goes around to a lot of people. And like I said before, in the end, it's on her husband. But I really think there's a lot of people that could have done more. And I think there's more that Urban Meyer could have done and the school could have done. Absolutely. Like I said before, if they could fire him now, they could have fired him 3 years ago.
Just so we're clear on this, Zach Smith is the monster in all of this. It's more like he's the big monster and all his, but there's somebody else that was helping him along. And that's the person that he's going to fall on. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, Urban Meyer's just as bad as Zach Smith. No, that to me trivializes what Zach Smith is the grand scheme of things. He is the big monster. Somebody else is helping him. That's the way I see this.
There's a lot of people that played a role in this, but by far it was Zach Smith's hands that did the work. But a lot of people that could have done something didn't do something, and I think that they are just as responsible for not helping this woman out. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks and what we hear about. It's going to be really interesting to see who they decide to find fault with, and hopefully they'll actually find fault with the person that needs it to be, which I think are a couple of people, and they don't scapegoat it and put somebody else out to dry. But who knows? That's kind of what we see sometimes with institutions when we're talking about this topic.
Here's the other thing. I just thought of this as you were talking about this, and I'm gonna end the interview with this topic. I'm actually, people are all out there. Urban Meyer needs to be fired. I actually think it might be better for this scenario if he's not fired. And
why?
If he gets fired, this is going to be talked about as, this is what got Urban Meyer fired. If he's not fired, this is going to be brought up over and over and over again and made into the people's consciousness of, how do we change and looking at the policies and making sure the policies work. If they just fire Urban Meyer, I think people are going to go, all right, well, he's fired. This case is over. We don't have to deal with this anymore until the next thing happens. If he stays on, people are going to start to say, let's look at the procedures and make sure that all the procedures work correctly.
I think he probably should be fired, if he did know about this and he didn't do anything about it. Because if they find that he did do this and they don't fire him, you're going to find more people think they can get away with this. I see where you're coming from, where you say if, he's fired, they're going to be like, okay, let's not worry about the procedures. I think you can keep having that talk. It's up to people to continue with this conversation and to keep it relevant. And we don't necessarily have to keep bringing up this victim. Let's let her move on with her life and get some peace and move forward. But the fact is, still talk about what was done. Continue with the policies. I mean, right now, Title IX in the United States is an absolute joke since it's been changed in September. There really are no real policies and procedures put in place. And the procedures that were put in place in 2015, and we're still having these discussions where things are happening, you can't even imagine what's going to be happening now, where any school really can make their own Title IX policies. A school does not have to come up with a resolution within 60 days. They can take 10 years to investigate these things if they choose so. I think when we're talking about policies and procedures, we had better policies and procedures in place when this was happening. So let's continue the conversation, but we need to justice something for, needs to be done, whether it's for Irving Meyer or her husband to finally get arrested and serve some time in jail. But just because somebody's found guilty doesn't mean the conversation stops and the policies need to be changed. Right now they need to be changed more than ever. But we just have to keep this conversation going, no matter what.
And that's why we're here. That's why you have your organization. Before I let you go, let everybody know how they can get in touch with your organization. We'll put a link on our Facebook page to your organization so that people can go check out, people can go and check it out so people can get to your organization. Let people know how they can be a part of it.
Okay, yep. It's called Let It Be Heard. You can find Let It Be Heard on Facebook. You can also go to our website. It's letitbeheard.org. The other information, if you want to email me, it's jennifer@letitbeheard.org. I'd love to hear from people, and if they have any questions or if they're looking for me to come out to their schools or do trainings or local organizations, absolutely. It's just all about educating people, and that's why I started it. We need to let the education be known and get it out there so people can be heard and come forward and actually seek justice.
All right, so that's Jenny from Let It Be Heard. Check out her website, guys. All of the information. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
I told you this before when we chatted earlier, and I'm going to say it again live on the air so that everybody knows this. I have been watching this story for a week now, reading any article I could find on this topic, watching any show that I could to get information. I learned more from talking to Jenny in an hour, and for as long as we've been talking now, I have learned exponentially more than I have learned from any other reporting of this story. So I really thank you for coming on the program. I hope this gets out. It's going to be syndicated tomorrow on another morning show, our interview. So it's going to get out there, and I'm so glad we got to get all this information out there. So thank you so much for coming on, Jenny. And
thanks,
when
Chris.
The final report comes on, we'll see what the report says. And if there's stuff in it that we need to discuss, we'll have you back, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jenny.
Take care.
All right. Let me see if I can get my computer to work here. There we go. All right. So that was an awesome interview. As I just said, I learned so much from talking with Jenny about what the processes are for this kind of situation. And like I said, I have no reference to go to. I don't know anybody in this situation. And I like where we went with. I think we gave you the timeline of everything. And I think it's important to note the timeline in this story. And that gap in the 2009 case is what really bugs me, because I really want to know what happened in that 2009 case. What made it so, you know, there was no consequence of that. That's what I want to know, because all of a sudden everybody says somebody should be fired, somebody should be this, somebody should be that. All of a sudden, in 2009, nobody said that. Nobody said anybody had to be fired because this happened. So it's a very fluid issue. We'll get to that. 2 weeks from now, they said on Monday, Ohio State came out on Monday and said in 14 days they will be issuing a statement and issuing their report. So hopefully 2 weeks from now we will have that. And again, we're so thankful for Jenny and the Let It Be Heard Foundation, the program that she started up there. She does a fantastic job, and we'll anytime these things come around, she's a great resource. And again, if anybody needs anything, go to her website, letitbeheard.org. Get in touch with them, because she's a great person to work with.